Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the gospel lesson according to Mark in the first chapter, paying special attention to verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Wherever Jesus went, he brought new life. Wherever he went, he brought the kingdom of God with him. The old order of things was passing away. The demons couldn't stick around because their conqueror had shown up. Disease and sickness couldn't stick around because Jesus brought wholeness and healing. Jesus was no ordinary man. He was nothing less than God in the flesh, coming on the scene to reclaim his creation. What an awesome thought. But it's not really our focus today. The thing I want us to ponder is almost like an afterthought in today's gospel. It's easy to miss, especially when you have miraculous healings and exorcisms taking place. Mark tells us that after a tremendously busy day, Jesus got up early in the morning and went off by himself to pray. That's what I want us to consider. And it's a simple thing. Jesus routinely made time to pray. He created the time he needed to communicate with his Father. And if he needed to, how much more do you and I need to? Now, we know this up here, yet I think many Christians, present company included, can struggle with prayer. I would be lying if I said I am satisfied with my prayer life. It seems to go in spurts. Sometimes it's great and I feel really locked in, and other times, not so much. If you are not satisfied with yourself when it comes to prayer, this message is for you. Isn't it intriguing that Jesus, in his humanity, valued prayer so highly? More than a good habit, it was a deep need for him. We know this because he was willing to set other things aside for a while so that he could pray. In fact, in today's gospel, we see his disciples looking for him and interrupting his prayer, breaking the silence, telling him, "Everyone's looking for you." And what does that imply? They think the stuff that you do, Jesus, of healing and talking to people is way more important than you going off by yourself to pray. The implications for you and me are probably obvious. So often, Christians fall into the trap of being, quote unquote, too busy to pray. We assume, like the disciples, that there are better, more practical ways of using our time. Maybe in our heart of hearts, we're not sure if prayer is going to make any difference. So we don't. Or people can paralyze their prayers by thinking they have to be done in just the right, precise way, or they won't work. Whatever the reason, look at Jesus. His motives for prayer are 100% pure. He simply needs to talk to Dad as often as possible. And honestly, it's that idea, the expression of a relationship with God, that's what prayer is so helpful. When we finally get it, it can change the way we think about prayer. Here's an example. If someone that you like or even love stops talking to you, what does that mean? It means something's wrong. It's never a good sign. On the other hand, we all have people that we enjoy talking to because we know they will listen. We know that they will help bear our burdens and share in our joys. It is never a good sign when we find ourselves giving God the cold shoulder through a lack of prayer. It is a symptom of a deeper spiritual problem. Again, if you stop talking to someone, what are you saying? Here's the good news. If it's been a while, you have a standing invitation to get back on speaking terms with God. You have an advocate with the Father. It's the Son, our Lord Jesus. God's Word also promises that when we don't have the words to say, when we've run out, or we just don't know how to express what we want to express, the Holy Spirit steps in and actually translates our prayers before the throne of God for us so that they come out right. Furthermore, you can talk to a God who understands, a God who knows what it means to suffer, to hurt, to be lonely, even to be scared. A God who's been there, right where you are, right now. Much later in Mark's Gospel, we find Jesus in prayer again. And it's the most intense prayer he ever prayed. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's the night before he dies. He knows what's about to happen. Mark tells us he felt distressed and anguished. And this is his prayer. Abba, Father, you can do anything. Take this cup of suffering away from me, but let your will be done rather than mine. Now that little prayer deserves a sermon of its own. Jesus gives us a master's class in prayer right here. But I bring it up now to drive home the point, you do not have a distant God. Jesus felt pain and sorrow and anger. He could be deeply troubled. So he knows what you're talking about when you bring your troubles to him. And look at Jesus' example. This is probably the most important point of this entire passage. Jesus' distress and anguish does not drive him away from his Father. Those things drive him to his Father in prayer. It was that very same impulse that many centuries later led a man named Joseph Scriven to write these words. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Growing up, I used to love to read Reader's Digest. And especially I would go first to the story Drama in Real Life, where people were rescued from all manner of perilous situations, hanging onto buoys or falling into a river, and a passerby just happens to see them and jump in and save their lives. I loved those stories. Couldn't get enough of them. And you know, there's one common thread to all of those. The person who was rescued had an urgent desire to meet their rescuer again so that they could just talk to them and say, thank you. Thank you for what you did. Wouldn't you like to talk to the person who rescued you? Don't you have something to say to the one who saved your life for eternity? And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. Do whatever you have to do to find your desolate place of prayer so that you can be refreshed through holy conversation with the Father who loves you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the example of Jesus, who even though he was God in the flesh, did not give up the practice of speaking to you, but made it a priority. Teach us how to make prayer a priority. Teach us to begin things by speaking to you in prayer. And when distress and anguish trouble our hearts, do not let those things chase us away from you, but show us how they can drive us into your arms and there accept whatever answer of love you have for us. We pray this in and through Jesus by the power of your Spirit. Amen.